Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
This moment, you're joining with a group of poets and writers from around the world, come together to celebrate the written word, to celebrate the spoken word. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the March 29th, 2019 edition. I'm your host, Michael Amadei. I'm here with my co-host, the producer, the man who keeps everything moving. All of his toes are doing something quite important, I'm told. JT, how are you, sir?
I'm busy.
You're good.
Yeah.
Well,
but I'm good.
You are quite busy. Yeah. I can see it. You've got a lot of variables, but I got to say, over the years, you've gotten very good at this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to ask our audience to do something for me.
Okay.
And this is just the beginning of the show. I just figured, you know, we've never done this before. So, all right, Okay. Everybody, do me a favor. And if you can, get up. Now, if you can, take one step backwards, then take one step to the right. Now, can everyone move one step to the left? Please be seated. I just figure, terrible jokes, right? If we move the audience, then we don't have to worry about anything afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Okay, terrible.
Yeah, it was.
Where was your sound effect, man?
I don't have a rim shot.
Don't you have something? You have something. We're going to work on this. Anyway, all right. So, welcome, everybody. We're so happy. That's how I felt when I heard that gong.
I bet. Sorry.
By the way, wonderful song selection this evening. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I hope people picked up on the theme.
I really do. Just the opening.
Just the beginning, yeah.
So yeah. I hope they understood which one it was.
Yeah, no, it's a. There was a lot of subtlety to it.
Good.
Okay,
I'm glad.
So we've got actually a great show. We have some submissions lined up as well. It's going to be a great time. We're going to. I think we're just going to have a good night here and just enjoy it. Nothing huge is going on tonight. We might have a few surprises that pop in over the time, but this is basically how it's going to work out. We're going to do multiple segments. First segment, we're going to have five callers come in. You get picked up in the order in which you are received. If you're the sixth caller, we'll let you know. But if you're not getting in, keep calling until you see in the chat room we've got our five callers, or JT picks up the phone and tells you. But otherwise, that's how we'll do the first segment. Second segment, anybody who's already called in can't call in. It's only the people who still are trying to get through the try. Then we'll do another five unique callers. Once we've done the two, if we think that we have room for a third, if we have enough people for a third, we'll decide to do that at that point, or we'll do a thing called the return engagement, which means anybody who would like to call back in and share something or call in for the first time can do so at that point. We have five rules that we ask everyone to observe when they call into the show. Number one, we don't do hate speech. That's just not part of our show. It's not part of what we do and what we represent. Number two, please skew PG-13 if you can. We're trying to make this a safe place for, you know, for families and younger people as well to be able to enjoy poetry. However, we're not in the business of censoring people and censoring art. So if you have a good artistic flow going, there's not, you know, we probably won't jump in. If it gets a little too over the top, a little too, you know, what's blue note? Is that kind of the term we could say?
Yeah.
Then we do reserve the right to jump in and just suggest that you read it during our After Dark segment, which happens on the first Friday of every month, and it just happens after the show. It's an adult-themed segment. Rule number three, when we come on the line, please be prepared. Have your poem ready. We understand if something happens, like your screen suddenly turns off on your iPad or whatever. That's fine. It's more just have it ready so we're being respectful of the time of the people who are listening and the people on hold as well. It gets kind of late pretty fast. Rule number four, please keep your work to no longer than 3 to 5 minutes. That's pretty easy to figure out ahead of time. And that's once again, it's a respect thing. And the last one is more of an ask from us. As I've said before, I am what they call ADD as F or AF. Wow, it's going to be one of those nights.
It's all good.
So basically what that means is when we're in the show and we're caught up in it, we're not going to be able to just remember things that come flying at us, including your suggestions and your comments. We want to be able to remember them. So instead of sharing with us on the show, send them to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or in the contact form on our page. Just say it's a suggestion, put it down, and we actually will talk about it when we get together in the middle of the week, and that way we can give it the kind of just the time that it deserves. All right, JT, is there anything you want to add? Is there anything special that happened this week that you want to share with everyone? Do you want to explain that extra arm growing out of your back?
No, I don't want to explain that yet.
The best kind of arm... Aaron, arm growing out of your back is the one that is unexplained, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's where it should stay.
I don't think you have a choice.
Well, I was thinking about moving it to the front.
It would be more helpful, wouldn't it?
I mean, Zaphod had it.
I gotta say, though, for a genetic mutation, the ability to scratch and clean your own back...
Isn't it
an
so
amazing
convenient.
Thing. It is
so
really...
convenient.
Especially if you could teach it to, like, shave. That would be a game changer for men. You know what I'm saying? We're all just on the way to turn into Goro from Mortal Kombat. That's really what's happening right
Good
now.
Good point. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, deep thoughts. All right. Let's head now into our first segment. The number to call is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. And we're back here at the beginning of the first segment. We've got some awesome callers here. I see George. I see Cynthia. I see Mary. I see Philip. I see Jim. This is going to be great. But before we get to that, I have a submission to read. This was sent in from Steve in... I'm going to read his note first. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And hopefully, Steve, you're okay with this. It says, hi, Michael and JT. Belated happy St. Paddy's Day, which, of course, coming from Steve, is about as authentic as this can get. The cough is still with me, and I'm beginning to fear Maria might be right and that it's the 40-plus years of camels and not merely a lingering cold, so I won't be calling in. But I desire to be part of the show, which we do appreciate, Steve. We always love it when you're part of the show. He says, submitted for your consideration is a piece I wrote while looking at old photographs of my grandfathers when they were younger than I am now. I hope that you like it. That's a powerful... By the way, just side note, I've been looking at pictures of my grandfathers and my great-grandfathers and my great-great-grandfathers, and it's pretty fascinating because my great-grandfathers... And my great-great-grandfathers, the pictures of them, for some reason, are so dark. All you can tell is there's other people around. You can see them. But those, the men, are, you can see their clothing. You can't see who they are because for some reason they're in shadow. So it's kind of like all I can see is this kind of representation of these men who came before me.
All right.
So I can really resonate with this. So anyway, he sent this and... I'll read it for you. It's Grandfather Remembers. I'm going to cough 1 second. All right. And that was not a tribute to you, Steve. Here we go. Grandfather remembers. Under leaden skies, along streets of gray stone and steel, the aged men walk through the fog, singing the songs of home. As exiles, they trudge through the city they have built with muscle, blood, and toil, which despite the long, hard years, never will be theirs. Yet there is a scent that lingers as far winds cross the harbor. When the rain falls gently, the sadness is somehow softer. It's a beautiful piece. That was Grandfather Remembers from Steve Barry. Wow. Steve, it might just be the Irishman in me, but that really really connected with me. Thank you for submitting that. I really, really appreciate that. JT does as well, and I'm sure the people listening do. Thank you, sir. And we hope you feel better soon. If you want to submit a poem like Steve at some point, just so you know, you can always send something in to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or you can put it in the contact form on the site. Just let us know that it's a submission to be read on the show, and we'll be happy to do so. All right, now we're going to be heading to the callers. Going to the live lines, JT.
Yeah.
Should we do it live?
Yeah, we're doing it live.
All right, we're going to go to the magical land of Michigan, land of poets. Let's speak to George. Hello, George.
Good evening. It's finally Friday night.
Yes, it is. And happy to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. I missed a couple times, but I'm back.
We're happy.
And at it again. I'm told by a relative of mine that the city about 70 miles from you has way too many MAGA hats.
Oh,
Colorado Springs.
Oh, I lived there for a while. And it's an unfortunate place. Oddly, it also is right next to one of the weirdest towns in the United States called Manitou Springs. Yeah. It's you go from MAGA hats to people wearing wizard hats and unironically, which is actually not that different when you think about it.
No.
All right, I digress. I'm going to step back. I don't want to turn this into that.
No, I don't either. I'll just read my poem.
All right, thank you, George.
Okay, have to have some fun. The this one is, I guess it's self-explanatory. It's called When the Bells Don't Ring. A troubled time of dissonance when they can't hear the bells. They look up beseeching the sun, but get raindrops in their eyes. They peer around for kinship, for comrades, but find slow indifference. They wear telescopes to read and lose their hats in the rain. They try to hear the bells. A large red-haired man threatens when they cross his turf. The church signals fail, and the pills don't stop the pain. The wretched sleep comes in fits. The sun won't come up. An alarm goes off inside when they pay for the medicines. They try to see the bells. Disdaining words greet them when they ask for their share. They are patronized at parties, but jaundiced at work. When they try to climb the ladder, the rungs break loose. There comes the day when they must pawn the diamond and the vase. They listen for the bells. They begin to tell their story, but only the dog pretends to listen. Good memories keep falling away, replaced by bad dreams. The sum total of their joy won't fill a spoon, yet they still sip at it. A dog still wags his tail. They feel a tiny spark when the phone rings. They hear a bell rung cautiously. An old friend is testing for their interest, a new job, pays twice what the beet cannery did with benefits. The mailman brings a surprise, a tax refund. They find their sunglasses and stride out to the park with the dog. A carillon tower chimes boldly in the piece.
That's cool. JT, what'd you think?
I enjoyed that piece.
Yeah, that's something kind of connects with a lot of our experiences, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Of course. Thank you for sharing it with us.
I'm glad to, and I'll step off and let the next one go.
All right. Appreciate you, George. Thanks for everything you do, and hopefully we'll talk to you during the return engagement.
I hope so. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. And that was George leading us off here, calling from Michigan, which seems to be kind of be like the leadoff state in a way.
Interesting. A leadoff state.
Yeah.
That's a good slogan.
It's almost like I could use that in my alternative atlas of the United States.
I'm telling you, you might be able to.
See, I just need a good artist for that. Anybody know any good artists who can draw a map? Or maps?
Yeah,
plural?
I do, actually. There's a few of them. That's called there's MapQuest, which is old and gone. Then there's Google. There might even
but
no,
be a... No, I don't mean that I need to look at a map. I mean publishing a book with maps in it. I would need my own thing.
You need your own illustrator for that?
Yes, you would, because it's intellectual property. By the way, MapQuest is still alive and well, and it's actually headquartered in downtown Denver.
Yeah, I know, but it's not that...
Oh, yeah, I haven't used it in years. Sorry. I haven't used it in years. I went in there, I like ate a bunch of their free food, and I still haven't used MapQuest in years. It was during an event. I didn't just walk in off the street like, oh, hummus. although maybe I should.
Maybe you should,
Maybe I should do that. Get revenge for that time they told me to turn right into a lake.
Yes.
And I turned left into another lake. No, okay, now we're going to go to Vancouver, where nothing silly ever happens. Let's visit with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. It's so beautiful here. I have to tell you, the sun is setting in the tips of the cherry trees right now.
Oh, I bet it's absolutely beautiful. We've had some really nice weather over the last few days, and wouldn't you believe it, right now it's snowing again.
Actually, we went through a lot of that. Like, we kept going, it's spring, then it would snow again. And, you know, it's still cold, but you run outside anyway.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, JT loves the cold, so I think he's all happy about it. I'm just done.
I'm thrilled.
I'm finished. Yeah. JT's done. Or I'm done. JT's happy. Anyway, well, I'm glad to hear that it's such a beautiful place where you are right now. And we see you've been very, very active with the poetry community where you are and abroad, which is awesome to see as well.
Well, thanks.
Of course.
I'm going to read from my book. I'm going to read the last page of my Lightbearers book. And I consider it a prose poetry book because I focused on the descriptions of Vancouver and Canada. And as you know, I'm an English and socials teacher. So that comes in a little bit. In socials, we're studying cleaning up the Great Lakes and what should be done to help that happen. Okay. So I just put that into my book a little bit. This is it. Zabaddon pondered how to help clean the Great Lake of Emeron. He thought back to how, when the NVIDIA guards had assumed he was asleep and retreated to the house to play video games with Perdicio, his nemesis, he had managed to sneak Caripio out for some exercise, feeling sorry for the pet that Perdicio was too lazy to walk. Perdicio was the laziest living thing in the southern petal. Needing less sleep than most life forms, Zabaddon not only flew behind a bounding Caripio, the leash from the lizard's studded collar keeping him horizontally in tow, as all of Caripio's pent-up energy for sprinting and rock crunching exploded out at once. But eventually, with the calm of regular exercise, Zabaddon caught Caripio to swim and fetch logs at the polluted lake's edge amid the industrial noise of the factories that never stopped. The once natural lake had become so contaminated with mining runoff from the Apparati owner's greedy and cheap approach to open metal mining, taking everything out of the soil of the planet and doing nothing to restore the once naturally occurring vegetation for the ravine wildlife that used to inhabit the area, that it was on the verge of total extinction. Combined with pollution from robot building factories, the lake died and failed to produce food for the inhabitants of the planet, as it used to eons ago. Over the weeks of that last summer, before Zabaddon had been rescued, he and Caripio had secretly cleaned out the silt of pollution and glowing radioactive boulders from the bottom of the lake. Caripio, who could hold his breath for 30 minutes at a time, fetched the boulders and muck to the surface, and Zabaddon, who was astoundingly strong for his small size, hurled the boulders into a cart bound for the black holes, where the radioactive elements would be safely absorbed by other matter. Caripio loved how good it felt to roll in the mud, scratching his back on stones and digging for big rocks, along with his natural enjoyment of running clumsily into the water, splashing as much as he could. Although his thick skin protected him from any harmful chemicals entering his body, Zabaddon still hosed him down in a nearby robot truck wash when they finished each night. Caripio was the size of a small robot loading truck and fit snugly in the cement wash stall. With the multi-directional hoses all going strong, Zabaddon discovered just how happy Caripio could become when being sprayed with water. The harder the water spewed out, the more Caripio beamed, thumping his massive tail in satisfaction. Zabaddon learned that the secret to getting along with Caripio was to keep him hosed down and to bring him lots of crunchy treats. Those jaws need to chew, and better they practice on hardy fossilized cacti and boulders than on me, Zabaddon used to say to himself, being sure to leave treats that Caripio would messily enjoy. Just then, Marcy reappeared from her discussion with the light protectors to fill Zabaddon in on their latest plans. Sorry, one more sentence here. I'm just trying to turn the page. Zabaddon shuddered at the notion of going anywhere near Princess Amito. 9 years had been long enough to be held hostage by the magnetic forces her factories produced to imprison him. But he kept that to himself. "We'll pick up Caripio to help with the Lake Emeron cleanup," he replied, and they were off to Nosen once more. End peace.
That was, I don't think I've ever heard you read something like that on the show before. That was great.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's the first time I've ever read it in public, this part of it.
So oh, really?
Thank you so much for letting me do that on the show.
Of course, happily, happily. And thank you for everything you do and everything you contribute. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks. So talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Thank you, Cynthia. And that was Cynthia calling us from Vancouver, British Columbia. Hey, JT.
Hey, Michael.
Do you know what Vancouver has in common with Arizona?
Can't say I do.
Neither do I. Let's go to Marion, Arizona. How's that for an intro?
That was, yeah. Okay.
Solid, man.
Solid. Sorry.
Like bull.
Yeah.
Hello, Mary.
What's in common with Canada? Nothing. Well, it's spring.
Hey, you know what? Spring has sprung, and so have you and everyone else. How's it going?
I've done so much more than spring has sprung, darling.
Well, actually, anyway. I want to ask you. And this is a question that's kind of like talking shop. Forgive me for asking you on the air. What kind of keyboard do you use when you're playing live?
I haul around an 88 key chord cross.
Chord cross. Okay, I'm looking into it because I'm going to start playing piano a lot more. Out.
K-R-O-S-S. I could have got one for I could have got one for $600-$700. I paid $800. It's a $1,200.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Okay.
It's a nice keyboard.
Nice.
So there we go.
Okay, well, thank you for telling me. I appreciate it.
And we should message if you really want to know.
I'll ask you in private. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, I'd like to have you keys and all. Anyway, I'm going to share a song with you, and I love you all for letting me sing to you. It's by Stevie Nicks, and I'm going to actually sing at a charity event next week called White Cane. It's for the visibly disabled, I guess visibly impaired. It is a kind of shout out for my friend Frog, who's a drummer from way back, or still a great percussionist and but it has some visual impairment, and so this is a one of the things, the charities he plays for, and I get to play there too. So that's my plug. So come out to Arizona and hear me next week. No.
Mary, thank you.
You know, I like singing for you. I can make all the ugly faces. I don't have to worry. I'm not in a crowd. Yeah, no one looking.
Yeah, you got to understand, Mary, that's the whole reason we do this show. I basically look like Billy Idol Mills, you know, mid-scowl the entire show.
I play in front of a mirror. I'll just tell you, it's a little different than when I have to go. Anyway.
Well,
thank you for letting me join you.
Of course. Thank you
and
so
I'll
much.
And I'll try to read something of my scribble next time.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
We'll talk to you soon. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, the place that has absolutely nothing in common with Vancouver.
Except it's spring.
It's spring, and spring has sprung, but there are no spring chickens. Let's go now to Kentucky, where they've got the sprung chickens. The spring sprung. The slinky chickens. Yes. Hello, Philip.
Like that old joke, please take my chickens. Take her.
Please. That old chestnut. Yeah, I feel so confused. Like, you know, I woke up late this morning. I woke up at night. I mean, mm-hmm. I woke up at 9. Mm-hmm. And uh-huh. I'm just screwing around. Anyway, how are you, sir?
Oh, I am fine, Michael. You're one of the few people I know that you put in 25-hour days. You know, that's rough, my friend.
It's not that bad.
You get a little break now and then, you know.
Yeah, but what am I gonna do? You know, what will I? I have some spare time, and I'm sitting there. I'm just like, you know, what am I supposed to do right now?
I'm just saying, please, just go with a little bit of slap happy, you know.
All right.
You're doing very well. And may I be quite serious for one moment?
Of course.
I was wanting to ask JT if this is okay, the resident Wookiee.
Okay.
Okay. Are you excited about the new and upcoming Dune saga that's being filmed?
Yes. Yes, I am.
I thought you might be.
I think they are picking the right people to fill the correct roles.
And
I think
good
so
director
too.
Choice.
Yes, sir.
Good director choice.
Yeah.
That this is Michael chiming in, but the director choice was the thing that made me happy.
Yeah.
Me too, because I finally it took me a little while. I had to rewatch 2049 a couple of times, but it really has grown on me, and I'm really impressed. And I also was really impressed with Arrival. I think that's the same. Yeah, I thought that was marvelous. Really good stuff. Well, I am excited. I am chuffed now. So I will get to my piece.
Perfect.
And thank you for allowing me to be so serious about cinema, you know.
Oh, hey, you heard Radio Angry, right? You've heard us yelling about cinema? That's
I love it. Why do you think I call the show? You know.
Perfect.
It's not about poetry, you know. I actually, now I am going to try to be serious. Boy, I sound like the child who cried wolf. Right now I am going to try to be serious.
Right. Wait, now I'm going to be serious.
No. I just want to let people know I am in no way mocking, belittling mental illness, because, you know, we live in this very reactionary PC culture today. Everyone wants to be offended. So my title, Pleasures of a Mental Illness, here we go. Flowers are not the sun, I must remind myself on occasions, especially in spring, hyper-vivid colors, lush-lit, cloudless, pristine in its effusive, primitive, non-pejorative sense, and the wind, sudden as arousal, mild mania's ascension, kites, hot air balloon light bulbs alight. It's easy to pretend their brilliant colors landing gently along the lambent horizon where points vanish. Low orbit satellites, devoured by their own debris at nearly 30,000 miles an hour, blooms our star in firmament gardens, the moon a celestial rose. And there it is.
The moon a celestial rose. Philip, that's some really solid turns of phrase in there. I know I say that kind of stuff. Like, it's not hyperbole here. I'm trying to be.
Reacting to you were both like the polite chipmunks or whatever that was, that old cartoon. Oh no, after you. Oh no, you know. I'm like,
we are far more like Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets.
Very likely, but you know, there's a part of me that goes, I read my poem and he's still talking to me. This is good. I'm making progress.
I got to tell you, Philip, here's a funny fact that I just told someone the other day, which is true. When you put, and you know this because you've put out a book as well. Although I think you were getting pretty good reviews. There's something so funny when you put out a book and a bunch of people buy it and no one says anything. And then you're suddenly like, does everybody just think it's so awful that they can't say something? Like, does everybody just hate me now? And there's like, no one wants to talk. And then I just realized no one's reading the damn books. They buy it. Well, I mean, no. But most people who buy books don't read them anyway. Everybody's busy. There's stuff going on. Like, that's an actual stat. Like, we know that's a real thing. So I don't hold anybody accountable. I'm not upset about it. I suddenly realize maybe I'm not an idiot. Maybe everybody doesn't hate me because they read something. Maybe they just haven't read the book yet. And so it's the same sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. No. I'm with you on this on the same page there, my friend. Yes, I empathize. And
you know what I mean. You get it. Okay. Anyway,
I smile at you. I smile at both of you, and I look forward to the next poet. On with the show.
On with this show. I'm going to walk a lobster down the street. Okay. We'll see.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that was a reference to Parisian romanticists. This guy would go by the last name Nerval, who apparently, and this is probably totally made up, used to walk a lobster on a leash down the street in Paris.
Well,
a pet lobster.
Would not surprise me.
You know, he used to hang out with Bolidaire, which explains a lot. Let's go to Pennsylvania, a place where they walk lobsters all the time. Let's talk to Jim. Hello, Jim.
Dilly Dilly.
Dilly Dilly.
Nope.
Okay.
That's my last line of defense. Nope.
All right. Fear is the mind killer.
That's right.
Yeah.
I will face my fears. Sorry.
You're facing your fears, JT?
I will let them pass over.
Okay. Very, very good.
Because my skin is not my own.
Well, naturally.
So, you mentioned Dune.
Yes.
Which of the versions that they've done already did you like? The one from the 80s with Colin McCallaghan, or the one within the last few years with Alec Newman?
Okay, so JT, you answer this because I know you can do this more intelligently.
Okay, so the 1980s Dune with Sting and all that is great for the one-liners. It's absolutely fantastic for the one-liners in that movie. Uso, we have worm sign, the likes of which even God has never seen. Those lines are epic.
Not to mention Sting in a codpiece.
Absolutely. That was awesome. and then the sci-fi version, I loved because it felt more like the book would have. The still suits felt more nomadic, desert-ish. So I'm kind of both. I liked them both. But, man, that 1980s Dune just had the epic lines. Just epic lines.
What about you, Jim?
I'm more preferable to the sci-fi version because they flesh out the story. Take their time to flesh out the story.
Yep.
I mean, it's like you have a two-hour movie, and it's, you know, trying to put so much in it. It was good. But I think the sci-fi version was a little bit better.
Fair enough.
And it's just that some of the nuances and stuff, you know, it's – I just kind of liked, you know, how they did it. Mm-hmm. It's like Paul's having his visions, and you're seeing things that are going to happen later in the movie.
Yep.
Good point. Yeah, it's all about the nuance.
I like the way that they did some of the words, like, because Muad'Dib or Shahulud, and it's like, it's just how they pronounced it. It seemed more authentic.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Hey, we appreciate it. But let me ask you this.
Okay.
What do you have for us?
Well, it's one I I did this morning. I had the idea for it yesterday.
Okay.
So it's Power of the Unwritten Poem. The tumults of the unwritten verse, Super Bowl bouncing in my mind, overpowering my need for sleep, compelling its commitment to paper. With the coming of the dawn, the muse loosens its hold on me, too late to surrender to slumber. End of poem.
That's cool. I know that feeling very well. You have to when you're doing the, as Philip says, 25-hour days.
Yes.
8 days a week.
Yeah. Yeah. 8 days a week, backwards in the snow with my head and my pants. Let's move on from that. Anyway, Jim, appreciate you very much. Are you going to be able to join us for the return engagement?
I should be. It'll depend on my power levels on the phone.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
But I might be able to.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can keep it moving and get you in there, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. That's where the pencils come from.
Yeah.
All right. So we're getting ready to head into a new segment. We need five more unique callers. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And the voice of the person in that little tag there, Lenny C., was such a cool guy and just a really beloved poet here in Denver. He came down, it was our first year,
yeah,
wasn't it? And,
yeah.
And came on, was a guest on the show, and recorded that drop for us. And then he passed away. About a year later, wasn't it? A year and a half later?
Yeah.
Something like that. And it's just, for me, I love the fact that you still run that, because that's something that, like, I bet you his family isn't even really aware exists of him doing something
good
like that.
Good point, yeah.
And he would always run the rock the mic thing, even when he was, you know, doing live performances and stuff. We do miss him here a lot in Denver, but it's just really cool to hear his voice here. All right, we've got five more awesome callers lined up here. Is there someone new that's calling?
No. No, no.
The last person isn't? Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't type.
Okay.
I apologize.
No, I was looking at the state. Okay, fair enough. So these are people we've had before.
Yes.
Looking forward to it. But we're going to head. So right now, just to give you a heads up, we got Barbara coming. We got Dennis. We got Stan. We got Eric. And we got Don calling from California. It's a pretty cool lineup here. So let's head now to Barbara in Connecticut.
Looking forward to it. But we're going to head. So right now, just to give you a heads up, we got Barbara coming. We got Dennis. We got Stan. We got Eric. We got Don calling from California. It's a pretty cool lineup.
Yeah.
So let's head now to Barbara in Connecticut. Looking forward to it.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. I was waiting for my, you know, Connecticut.
A new introduction. I mean, how about this? I'll end your call with one. Okay, I'm gonna work a good one out.
Oh, okay. Due to events that happened between the last show and this, my poem is called "Uncovering the Juicy and Squealing Center of Evil Underneath the Sun's Rays," and it's from the prompts of "Juicy and Squealing," and there was a prompt of a painting of a cat with a mouse by Leonard Philgate. I didn't really understand that. They were by Susan Guest, and it's in the Garden of Poetry and Prose if anybody wants to see it in print. Uncovering the juicy and squealing center of evil underneath the sun's rays. I open my eyes to the day and hope the sunshine pouring in through the closed blinds will bring me a day of joy, as it promises, for sunshine lulls you into believing your day will be filled with excitement, shining as its rays do on exciting and fascinating moments. The minute my feet touch the floor, I know this isn't true. As the events of the day mix with the soft radiance of glamorous sun, and slowly I come to realize that it is all window dressing, and the day lives in a black hole underneath it all, concealed by the magic of nature. The day's true color is black, and shades of purple do not show. The sun's glitter and glitz cannot hide the evil lurking beneath the surface of the hidden sadness that will bombard me from media as I try to learn what has happened while my eyes were closed and my mind took a blessed time out to regroup. Evil is there and surrounds me with its aura of sadness and downright despicable nature as events unfold that are hard to ignore, such as the suicide of a man whose child was killed by a crazed gunman when she was only 6 in a schoolroom. Or maybe the disreputable people who are in charge of our government covering up crimes they know exist so they can remain in power and selfishly take more money and respect from the country until we are in a bleeding mess and no longer able to hold up our heads, for they wish for us, the people, to be in despair so they can do what they will, unhindered by laws or traditions. But evil will not be covered up long. Its deceit will come out if you dig under the makeup so carefully applied to hide it. Then it will emerge juicy and squealing to be heard like the mewling devil it is, with its scaly body firmly placed around our country's heart, ready to pounce. And hopefully we will be able to stop this snake before it injects its venom into our citizens and we are left paralyzed without an antidote. But, as a nanny, the sun will come out tomorrow. End poem.
Very, very nice. I enjoy that one. As much as you can, you know, I understand the subject is not an enjoyable one, but I enjoy what you did.
Yeah.
Thank you. I never know what's going to come out of my hands, really. It's like they're, you
know. Kind of like Spider-Man in that way?
Nope. I just put them on the keyboard and they go.
I tried that. You know what? Barbara, I gave that a good 3-month try, and all I ended up with was 300 pages of just random letters.
Oh, well, see, you have to have a sentence to start with, or, you know, you'll just have letters.
One day I went to the market and then just slammed my hands down on the keyboard and see what happens. Eventually I'll get Shakespeare, right? Eventually.
It's all a matter of, you know, the roulette dial of your brain. That's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what I came up with. And,
it's a good,
what can I say?
It was great. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. Okay, talk to you later in the return and stepping off to get so that the other 4 people get their chance.
All right. Thank you so much. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, did you get it? Do you have the...
The what?
You have the ending, the Connecticut ending?
Oh, you know what? Yes, I do. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right,
yeah,
here we go.
I'm ready.
So, Connecticut. It might be the land of hopes. It might be the land of dreams. But it's also the land of newspapers, with approximately 144 newspapers published in the state, daily, Sunday, weekly, and monthly. And also, it is a land where if you walk across the street in Hartford on your hands, you will be promptly arrested. There you go.
Great, Michael.
Thank you very much. You can't see me now, but I'm bowing.
Oh, and I'm curtsying.
All right, beautiful. JT's spinning around in circles, waving his hands in the air. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Barbara. JT's just excited about stuff. You were just excited. I understand.
I was. It's all right.
All right. Actually, that reminded me of a fairy tale that I had put up on social media the other day that I feel like I might read quickly and share at some point during the show this evening. But before we do that, let's go now to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's Friday night. Where else would I be?
Yeah, I know. What's going on here? We're happy to have you as always.
Well, yes, it's always good to be here. I tell you, I don't know what I'd do if you guys changed nights or did something extreme. I don't know what I'd do with myself.
We're so aware, but I think you don't have to worry about that, Dennis. We're not sure what we would do either. So that's the that's the concern.
I'm in good company. Yes, indeed.
Right. Well, so Dennis, what do you have for us this time?
Well, I get still the last Friday of the month of March 2019, I thought I'd go for the Poet of the Month.
Wonderful.
And the title of this one is In Extremis. It goes like this. I saw my toes the other day. I hadn't looked at them for months. Indeed, they might have passed away. And yet, they were my best friends once. When I was small, I knew them well. I counted on them up to 10 and put them in my mouth to tell the larger from the lesser. Then I loved them better than my ears, my elbow, adenoids, and heart. But with the swelling of the years, we drifted, toes and I, apart. Now gnarled and pale, each said, Jacques. I hid them quickly in my shoes. End of poem. A poem by John Updike.
Very, very good. Very good choice, Dennis. Good choice.
Yeah.
And a great read.
Thank you. I had fun with that poem. He's got some interesting stuff. So you always bring interesting poets to light with the Poet of the Month.
Oh, wait till you see the one next month.
We appreciate that.
Hey, you got it. You've got it. No problem at all. And thank you for thank you for playing along.
No, my pleasure.
All
and it's always fun to do. All right. I'm going to step aside. Let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan here, number two in the second segment of the evening. We're going to head now to a place called Alabama. And by the way,
yeah,
random facts about Alabama, they have a state song. You know what it is?
What is it?
Alabama.
What?
Hey, Stan, how's it going? That's actually the truth.
Yeah, it's going, and I love the way Dennis delivered that.
I know. He did a great – I mean, some poems just fit the person reading them so well, and for some reason that just really fit with Dennis.
Oh, yeah. Great delivery. Everything was right on time with that.
Yeah, great stuff.
But then – yes.
I will be quiet. What were you going to say?
I said, but then it's Dennis. You know, it's going to be.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, yes. So, Stan, how's everything going? How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Just getting through the rest of this week and hoping Rebecca Hollywoods has a good recovery. She was she had a nasty little flare-up of that lupus she has. And we had to cancel the Hurt Locker this week.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. So we're all hoping for her to get a good recovery.
Absolutely.
You know, from what I understand, she is in good spirits. So she's a warrior. She will not relent.
She's not going to stop. Yeah, that's a good thing. It's a good sign.
Yeah.
I've realized that the times I've gotten through some kind of adverse, you know, medical stuff, and even the people I know who've done that as well, there is a certain characteristic of just pure stubbornness that is kind of born out of that, and it's the thing that I think helps you get through.
I agree.
Anyway.
I know, so I'm just giving a shout-out to her and
wishing her a speedy recovery and giving, offering some prayers.
Absolutely. And we will join you in that for sure. We hope you recover soon.
Thank you, sir. And now on to the poetry.
I
gotta tell you, I love Barbara's take.
Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it?
What a nice spin on those things. I'm going to be honest, I kind of went a little pedestrian on this one. I took a look at the painting or the picture.
Yeah.
With the cat and the mouse sitting on the receiver of the phone. And I just kind of took that cue and made the story from that. And this is on the menu. The cat was hungry, not yet fed, crouching at the mouse's hole. The mouse knew well he was there, felt his own stomach's hunger roll. Said the mouse, "Cat, hear me out. To your hunger, I won't become a meal, but I know how we can both be fed if you're willing to make a deal." "I'm listening," growled the cat, "but know this, I'm not going to be made to look dumb. So tell me your plan, for I'm near famished, and you're not much more than a crumb." So the mouse and the cat laid out a plan to which both would be well fed. In a drawer through a hole, the mouse found cash, while the cat kept lookout ahead. To the phone they went to place their call, both feeling themselves quite sly. The cat got the receiver off and dialed, while the mouse ordered the pizza pie. Their instructions said, "Don't bother knocking. The cash was stuck inside the pet door. Just keep the change, turn the box at an angle, and set it down just inside the door." It wasn't long before the feast arrived. The mouse couldn't stop squealing in joy. 8 slices of heaven there on the floor, more than enough for both to enjoy. One might wonder how the pizza was topped, so both these clever critters were pleased. 5 slices were heaped with juicy anchovies, and 3 slices with extra cheese. And peace.
I like that.
Yes,
Stan.
Yes.
It was enjoyable.
It was executed really, really nicely and read very well. But you're right. It's so funny to think that, and that's why prompts are so cool. It was so interesting to think that Barbara's piece and your piece came from the same prompts.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're so different.
That's the thing I really love about the garden, is the opportunity. All of us have the same exact prompts, but you get such a diverse perspective and direction on it. It's wonderful.
And it really kind of helps you appreciate that other people are coming from such a different perspective. Just in general.
Oh, that's the whole point of it. That's the beauty of it. That is the one thing I've always loved about being with a group where everyone's working off the same idea, the same prompt.
Yeah.
The same inspiration. And to see the diversity of thought. I love that.
Agreed. I'm very much in agreement with that. All right. Well, Stan, thanks so much for everything. Hopefully the return engagement, we'll be able to hear from you again.
Of course, and on to the next gentleman.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next time.
All right.
And that was Stan calling from Alabama. You're expecting something else, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
Needs to call.
Eric needs to call. Okay, so while we're waiting for Eric to call us from Texas, let me tell you about Texas, JT. You want to hear about Texas?
Oh,
now, you lived in Texas.
I did.
So apparently, the first words spoken from the moon on July 20th, 1969, was the word Houston, followed by, "We have a problem. Get us off of this rock." No. Kidding. Then Dr. Pepper, this is important stuff, was invented in Waco in 1885 by a very young David Koresh. I'm kidding about that. The Dublin Dr. Pepper,
uh-huh.
85 miles west of Waco, still uses pure imperial sugar cane in its product. There is no period after the doctor in Dr. Pepper.
That is correct.
Now, what is that about? How do you, is that something, have you ever looked that up or why that is?
Why there's no period after yeah. Dr. Pepper?
Yeah.
No. I think it's more of because he's not an official doctor.
So you don't put the period in there? So
yeah,
he
didn't earn the title. I mean, he's just, you know.
He just says doctor?
Yeah. I mean, I could call you Dr. Amade. You don't have the PhD to go with it yet.
True. I don't. So. Yeah, yet. It's probably not going to happen, JT.
Well, hey, you
unless
never
I
know.
Get an honorary doctorate from, like, you know.
That's what I was.
Honorary doctor
for.
From a John Schmansky's Clown College or something.
That might actually happen now.
Now that I've said that?
Yeah.
Free sponsorship. Just give me a PhD. All right, Eric, we're going to have it going once, going twice, going three times, and okay. Hope okay. we can get him in the return. Yeah, that would be an ideal thing.
Yeah.
But instead, let's get ready.
Well, Don's going to have to call now.
Don, in California, could you give us a call, sir?
Well, I'm
just
sure
let this be
awkward silence again.
Awkward silence. Oh, can I tell you what happened yesterday in history?
Please
this is
do.
Interesting.
Yes, please do.
So yesterday in 845, a 5,000-strong fleet of Danish Vikings invaded Frankish lands and only retreated after besieging Paris and securing a ransom from the Frankish king Charles the Bald, which makes me feel very like a kinship here from my hair. They were part of a series of devastating raids by the Vikings from the 790s, but this was in 845, and it happened yesterday on the 28th of March in that year. And they were led by a man named Ragnar, sometimes linked to the legendary figure Ragnar Lodbrok. And the Vikings easily overcame defenses put in place by Charlemagne and are known to have attacked the Abbey of St. Germain des Prés, just outside of the city. Although struck by an outbreak of the plague, the Vikings overcame this to return home with their ransom to set with of 7,000 French livres, I think, of gold and silver.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Cool.
All right. Hello, Don. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I got worried about you guys. I didn't know communication was such a rough field.
With us, apparently it is. So I don't know. We do our best, but sometimes it's difficult.
Yeah. I have a poem here. It's called Blinding Vision of Particulate. What's the matter? Pests yet again have committed theft. Stealing my glasses from my duffel bag. Those glasses disappeared in cheapness, not having a video of visions or a trial of stone dung for me to follow in order to be able to steal them back. Objectively, the government now promises us air to breathe, but leaves only the stench of particulate the size of knives, bullying their way free to cut lung tissue dead and separate. Gas converts business to hamburger in the chest. Dung which waits to infest lungs. Life leads to the last of the living, crucified on the end of the car's muffler. End poem.
It was a lovely piece done, as usual.
I have, I had to call you because the juice in this machine is, I didn't have time to charge it, so I apologize if my voice came out mouse-like.
Oh, not at all. It's done just perfectly, and we really we love hearing your voice. We appreciate it when we can.
Well, I accept all affection. Did I say infection? I meant affection. Of
yeah, you're
course.
Supposed to, you reject the infection and embrace the affection.
Okay. Thank you very much, and may the next poet enjoy. Yep.
Thank you, Don. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. And that was Don Hagelberg coming from California. Woo. Good stuff. All right. So, well, we haven't heard from Eric.
Right.
Okay. So maybe something happened. Maybe because I know he was having some signal issues at some point.
That is true.
So let's just go to our return, and that way anybody who wants to call in can call in, and anybody who wants to call back in, you can also do so. So let's just go to it. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
And Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back!
Woohoo! Yep. Let's do some energy to it. Now, we've got a lot of people lined up.
A lot?
A lot of people.
Okay.
It's so many people that when I say a lot of people, I have to say it as a lot of people.
Got it.
And I got to be honest, sometimes I have nightmares about this many people being in line, usually to punch me in the face.
Oh.
But this is different.
Being in line facing you as opposed to...
Yeah, which I expect to happen at some point in my life. Just a line of people just... Gah! Gah! Like I just feel like it's going to happen sometime. Yeah. I don't know why. Just one of those things that you always know is going to come true. Like somebody looks across the room, you know, some soldier looks across the room and sees a beautiful woman and says, "Someday I'm going to marry that girl." Me, I'm like, someday those people are going to line up and slap me in the face. You know, that's kind of...
Interesting.
You've known me for a while.
Yeah, but do it for charity at least, you know?
Hey, you know what? I am the person who originated the Dunk a Cop for Charity idea here in town back when I was 15 years old, my very first job. And we raised $8,000.
Yeah.
And there was a line over 150 yards long in Clement Park. No joke. No joke. I had to call and talk the police into the dunk a cop idea.
Oh,
we raised
awesome.
All this money for charity. Yeah.
You got to do that again. We got to figure out a way to do that again.
That was my very first job ever. I had to get a work permit to do that job.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. That was fun. Fun stuff. Anyway.
Wow. Hey.
Getting to off to a good start with the police department, and we're off to a good start here. Ugh. Oh.
Tickle in your nose.
No, JT, what happened was when you get to be a certain age, hair stops growing on your head.
Yes.
And starts growing other places. And sometimes it grows out of your nose. When I sneeze, I look like a party favor. But in this case, one hair has come out of my nose and got caught in the microphone.
Oh, that hurts.
That's what caused the schnoz issues just now.
Yeah.
How's that for honesty? Okay, let's go now to Dennis in Michigan to lead us off here. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm back.
Well, hey, twice. You are.
Yes.
Two times now.
Yes. That's count them.
Well, the show's moving pretty quick tonight. I'm trying to get JT to do a special thing for us tonight, and I don't know if he's going to be doing it or not. JT, are you going to do the surprise thing we talked about?
You can do it, buddy. You can do it.
You can do it.
All right, I'll do it.
All right, he'll do it. Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it kind of partway through the return engagement then. So,
all right.
Anyway, all right. So all that aside, what do you have for us this time?
Okay, well, I had the pleasure to co-write some poetry with Cynthia Sharp, and what a pleasure it is to work with her. She is such a very talented writer, and so easy to communicate with back and forth. And so together we wrote a quatern form poem, and she read it last week, but I'm going to read the same poem. It's going to sound different from my reading it from hers. I'm never going to sound like Cynthia, though. Man, she makes everything sound good. But I'm going to go ahead and read it in my voice. And the title is "As Spring Arrives to Our Delight." As spring arrives to our delight, a welcome friend returns at last. The crocus rise from slumber's night. Another winter now has passed. The frosted earth relents its hold as spring arrives to our delight. Sweet snowdrops blossom in her gold. A waking dream she will ignite. By seasoned artist with foresight, this sequenced order, not by chance. As spring arrives to our delight, the flora, fauna, join the dance. From sacred soil, all life reborn, and days return to dreamy light. This wondrous season welcomes morn, as spring arrives to our delight. A poem written by Cynthia Sharp and Dennis White. End of poem.
Wow.
I like that piece.
Yeah, great job. Yeah. Great job.
And you're right, Dennis. It does sound different.
Yeah, it really does.
It doesn't sound anything like Cynthia, but it's the same words, and we collaborated on those words. And what a joy it is writing with her. If anybody else gets the opportunity to write with Cynthia, I tell you, go for it, because it's a great experience.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I think that's a great glowing endorsement, so everyone should listen.
She's real talent, and it's good to rub shoulders with real talent.
yes, it is. It is. That's why we're here every week. You know how it goes?
Yes, and then we're glad she's a part of our poetic family here, and
oh, yeah.
She always brings a wealth of good things to us. So
absolutely,
my hat off to Cynthia tonight and every night. But I'm going to step aside and let the next poets step up to the mic, and I'm going to say God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan. Hey. I'm in Michigan. All right, so now we're going to go. Well, what is it? What's that from? Wayne's World?
Wayne's World, Delaware.
Delaware. Hi.
We're in Delaware.
We're in Delaware. All right, now we're going to go to Ohio. Go.
What's that from? Wayne's World, Delaware.
Sorry.
Delaware.
Which is named after a greeting. Oh, hi.
Delaware.
Oh. Forgot about the. Forgot about the. Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. Hey, Mama, how's it going?
Well, I'm not going to complain, but I'm having a rough time.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Facebook kicked me off for all my intellectual property and everything, all my pictures, 10 years worth of work.
But why'd they kick you off? What you?
I don't know why. I don't know why. They're mad because I had set up a GoFundMe, and I didn't use their GoFundMe. They had been wanting me to use theirs, and I didn't use it because the last time I used it, they took forever to give the person the money. So I didn't use it. As soon as I put the GoFundMe up, then next thing I know, I'm kicked off and I can't get back in.
Huh.
And I had used them to get into Mixer, and I had to just set up a whole new account today. They just messed everything up all across the board. Mm. All across. I kept on using them as my backup for, Facebook to get into all these. Anyway, I'm going to use this one. I'm going to read this one. Okay, it's called Chances. I'm really messed up here. As a matter of fact, I had to go to the hospital for high blood pressure. This has really messed me up. 10 years worth of intellectual property, they just took it, and it's really made me sick. So I'm just going to read, and
I missed the first two, so I'm going to read this one called Chances, I guess, or I could read Gracious Receiver, or I could tell my story about On the Beach, frankly speaking, about the hippie couple. Which one would y'all like to hear?
Yeah, JT, what do you feel on that one?
I like the Chances.
Yeah, yeah, let's, what do you think? Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay, Chances. Chances I'm afraid to take. My heart is so easy to break, beguiled by a deceiving smile. For better or worse, the vows I dare not make, chances that I dare not take, the past been sealed by my mistakes. Your smile's but an inviting trap. The eyes don't lie. Here's what they speak. Take the chance, they say. I place this decision in your lap. I will give you a good honeymoon, though abrupt may be the union. Yes, that's what those eyes reveal to me. The eyes cannot pretend. Chances are I won't commit, they said. And that's why of love I am shy. Don't want to give my love away just to be hurt again in the end. Oh, love, why have thou forsaken me? And why have thou given me such wise eyes and such a discerning spirit that burns inside? As I still yearn for the comfort that love makes, still no chances must I take. Afraid to make mistakes. No trust, no life, no risk. Always cautious. Afraid to be surprised. So paranoid it makes me nauseous. What kind of life do I have? If I bury my head in the past, this is nonsense, so I relent. Come and catch me in the trap of your smile. Embrace me with your gaze. Teach me to trust again. This loneliness has gotten vicious. Maybe if I'm able to love again, I'll be not so quite suspicious. I may be vulnerable, but I'm still lovable. I'll try again as I give in, throwing caution to God's winds. The gods of chance, now open for the arms of romance, awaiting to be ravished and kissed, taking one last risk for love's possibilities. Peace.
That was really beautifully done.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's very effective, you know, really affecting. No. Mama.
Well, you see, I changed my name in the chat room because now you see me anywhere.
I saw that. Different. It's, and you know, when technology and all that stuff starts, you know, or companies or whatever start acting weird, you know, it's so easy to get riled up. But really, you know, you're here. We love you. It's going to work out. And you know, this whole thing will work out. Just, you know, do what you got to do to make sure you're okay. And, you know, don't mess around with the blood pressure. I got JT's wife, when I was exhibiting signs of high blood pressure, she told me to don't be a jerk and go to the hospital if I have to. And it ended up saving my life. You did?
Yeah, I did. They put me on medication. It was really, really bad. I probably wouldn't have woke up today if I hadn't went.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened. That's what they did to me too. They put me on medication for a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but did you? And then when I asked the doctor, well, see, I was so hyped up and crazy acting. She asked me, "Was I mental?"
Did she ask you that? Are you mental?
Yeah. Right. Because I was going off on her and everybody else and just acting crazy.
Aww.
I was just, I didn't know my blood pressure was up. I was just, like, mad about everything.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? I'll tell you, Mama, when I was going through it, The only time I've ever gotten angry sitting in this show, and it was before the show started, was right before, like the day before I ended up going to the hospital.
Yep.
And I remember my emotionality was really out of whack. I was getting angry about nothing at all. And it was completely not in character. So it was really hyped up. So I actually think that it's an effect of the high blood pressure.
Yes, because that's the first time she had met me. I had just came from another doctor downstairs.
Sure.
And that was 2 hours before, and my blood pressure wasn't high. Mm. But when I went in her office and saw that she was, like, overbooking people and having poor, sick people sit up there for two or three hours over their time, I was getting upset. That was my first time going to her. She was recommended to me. So I started going off. And then so finally when they got me in the back, they put the blood pressure thing on me. And then she had heard me going off in the out there where the patients were, because I was, like, you know, really feeling sorry for them. One lady was, like, really sick. And then she said she had been in a coma before in that hospital and ended up with staph infection and all kind of stuff going on. I said, well, why is she overbooking and warehousing everybody just sitting up in here looking all sickly? And I said, I don't want to be in this hot place with everybody's different breathing, different bacteria. I said, hospitals are the most contagious place in the world. I just started going off because I'm not even used to going, you know, the hospitals. And she said, did somebody get caught staph infection out of this hospital? And I'm like, oh, my God. I said, we all started breathing each other's germ. I just went off. And then when they put the thing on my arm, it was making my fingers turn blue and no feeling in it because they left me there with it on unguarded. So I snatched it off and I was like just going up like stuff. But we're not supposed to leave somebody unmonitored with this thing squeezing my arm. Anyway, so she was whispering to the other lady. I said, I heard you out there saying, I was late. I said, no, you're trying to blame me. I was not late. I said, as a matter of fact, I was early. I said, that's why it seems even longer for me to be sitting out there that long, because I was early. So you're going to try to make it be my fault. Anyway, I said, well, I don't even want you for a doctor anymore. You came with high recommendations, but if this is your attitude, I don't want. She said, well, I have a right to say I don't want you either. Like, it's like, I want you as a patient. I'm like, I don't want you as a doctor. And then she just kept on working and working and working. I said, well, can I leave now? I said, what are you doing over there? You're still doing stuff. She was like, well, I decided to give you a second chance.
Mama, we're so happy that you're here. We love you. Thank you so much. We're gonna head to Cynthia in Canada. But I just wanted to say we love you. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you. We'll see you next time. And you know, the Facebook thing will work itself out. Who knows? But I mean, people do all kinds of weird stuff on there, and I'm sure yours is a misunderstanding with you. So we'll get it handled. Okay.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say, so the doctor did accept me, and in the end, we kind of laughed a little bit. I'm not mental. I'm just upset, and my blood pressure is through the roof. So
you just tell them you're not mental. You're a poet. They'll understand that.
Mental. I'm pissed. Okay.
All right.
Pray for me and pray for me that I stabilize, because I don't want to be on medication for the rest of my life.
We will.
That's
do so.
That's not my thing. All right. Good night, guys, and I'll be listening for the rest of the day. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. One lesson that we just all learned, don't mess with Mama. I learned that a long time ago.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. All right. Let's go now to Vancouver, British Columbia, to visit again with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hey.
Oh, welcome back.
So I think I'm not mental, I'm a poet should be a t-shirt.
You know what? Maybe CJT's pointing at me like, t-shirt. Okay, so maybe I will make that t-shirt. Good idea.
And it was wonderful to hear Mama. I was worried when I didn't see her around on stuff, but I'm glad she's okay.
Yeah, I am as well. I'm happy to hear that myself.
That was a fabulous poem.
It really was, especially hearing what she's gone through and everything. I mean, she's been through a lot today, so it's good to hear. It's good to hear her coming and just delivering it so with such strength.
I don't even think anyone could follow that. I'm gonna do a cover of Shakespeare, but I don't even know if he can follow it.
Okay. All right, perfect.
So I'm going to read, because it's spring and that means summer's on the way, I'm thinking about A Midsummer Night's Dream. Puck is my all-time favorite character. I always wanted to go into theater, but Puck was probably the biggest reason why. So this is just the closing to A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I just love it. If we shadows have offended, think but this, and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here while these visions did appear, and this week an idle theme, no more yielding but a dream. Gentles, do not reprehend. If you pardon, we will mend. And as I am an honest Puck, if we have unearned luck, now to scape the serpent's tongue, we will make amends ere long, else the Puck a liar call. So good night unto you all. Give me your hands if we be friends, and Robin shall restore amends. End poem.
Lovely. Very.
I was going to try and call in last because that's the closing, but.
Yeah. I've always loved Puck. I think there's been, I don't know, there's an element in a lot of us that have that, the Puckish element.
Oh yeah.
That I think comes out. I know that definitely I have it. JT has seen it so many times. He's like, yeah, there's not even a question.
Yeah.
You star in it, but it's such a fun, I got to play him a few years ago as well.
Oh, did you? Great.
For a local little thing, but it was really, it's just like my favorite all-time one because it's so magical.
Oh yeah.
So thank you for indulging me.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You have to twist our arm to listen to you read Shakespeare. It's so horrible, Cynthia. No, we absolutely loved it. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. We'll talk to you soon. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Now, from British Columbia, we're going to go to a land where the British were ejected, spat out like bad macaroni and cheese. Connecticut. That's an intro.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Barbara. Sorry about that intro. I don't know what happened there.
I'm in prison here. I can't get back into the chat room.
You're in prison?
Yeah, Mixler prison.
Yeah, did they tell you can't? Did it log you out and says you can't put
yes.
things in? It does that to me occasionally.
Facebook. I can't use Facebook, and they won't. I don't remember my login. Then when I tried to get a new one, they said, "Oh, we already have it." So it's like what?
What?
The one password I didn't put in.
Well, you should be able to. You should be able to, you know, do a password request to reset the password, though, if you have to.
I don't know. I tried. It was very annoying. It gave me a thing that, what?
Okay. So let's do this.
Anyway.
Let's focus on the poem. And then, because
yes.
otherwise this becomes tech support radio, and trust me,
no,
that's going to
no.
much higher ratings than this poetry show.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's crazy, right? So, I'm getting my poem. It's, as I said, a computer hell, but I'm trying, and I was trying for a while to get on and into the chat room, but. You know, they bounce you off with the whatever. Anyway,
so are you still waiting for your poem to come up?
Yeah.
Let's do this.
And go to someone else.
Yeah, we're gonna do that, and then we'll check back in a few. Okay.
Yeah, better to do that.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
And that was tentatively Barbara in Connecticut, but now we're going to go to a very special place, a place of magical chocolate stuff. Let's go to Pennsylvania to visit with Jim.
Hello.
Well, hello. I apologize for that introduction.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello.
You're out there.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm in here. Over this way.
Dave's not here.
Oh, that's a shame.
Hello.
let's just ride this out, Jim. Let's just keep going.
Okay. Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Hello. You're welcome.
Let's just ride this out, Jim. Let's keep going. Oh, so the speakers are still up. So it's now going to become recursive. This is even better. And then the best part will be when the speakers are picking up, the speakers getting picked up by the other recording. Then it's like four times. It's amazing. Okay, how about we do this? Do you have something for us?
Yeah. This is the poem that inspired the first poem, the writing of the first poem. Mercy for a man. Mercy for a man when justice must be done upon him for constant acts of defiance, a lifetime lived in open insurrection, a death deserved, a pardon given, but the fool in his heart says no thank you. End of poem.
That was a good one. Yeah. A fool in his heart says no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I like that very much. Great job, Jim. Insightful.
Yeah, that's one. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's like, I had to put it down on paper. And it took me about an hour. And it's like, it's almost time to wake up. It's like, crap.
Yeah.
It's like, I couldn't go back to bed.
Wow. I think that's, and sometimes the most powerful stuff comes at times like that, you know, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Jim, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We'll talk to you then.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania, where all the vampires are. Now, I don't know if some people who listen to this show are aware that... Now let's go do the thing we're going to do. Let's give her another thing.
Right.
So there is something that I want to kind of remind everyone about. In the springtime here in the Rockies, the breeze really picks up. It's beautiful. And the wind is not that intense, but it carries with it the scent of the season to come. And it's really an intoxicating smell. And it travels up the foothills here going up into the Rocky Mountains. And it blows along these mountain paths, and one of the paths it blows along is this solitary path people don't walk on very often. And at the top of this mountain, at the top of this path, there is a small hut. And in that hut sits a man. And inside the man sits his nucleus. He is the Haiku Master.
Hi-ya!
Of course, when we're talking about this man, we are talking about none other than JT, the Haiku Master.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right. Well, you know, I'm so happy to have this segment again because you work in the shadows for a long time.
I really do. Yeah.
But you sit just quietly, sometimes for indeterminate amounts of time, and then you just stand up and a haiku just happens.
Yes.
So I understand you have a few things you're going to read, or maybe at least one or two things.
Yeah, I'll bring you these haiku three.
The haiku three? The haiku-z.
Three?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So, haiku number one.
Tower Castle Life, waiting for the Prince Charming. Defeat the dragon. Okay.
Next.
Damsel. Wow. Let me try that again.
All right.
Damsels in distress, daughters of the king and queen, lost sleep on a pea.
Oh. If I had a nickel for every time that's happened.
Amen, brother.
Amen. All right, and number three.
Rebel senator, braided buns on three side of head.
Ooh. Very, very nice.
On the side of head.
On the side of head.
I put an extra letter.
Well, being able to recognize the detail like that is just one of the reasons.
I'm not done.
Oh, you're not done.
I'm not done. I'll redo that one.
Okay, you want to redo it? Okay.
Rebel senator, braided buns on the side of head. Solo is your love.
Ooh, there you go. I like that one.
Much better. Sorry.
And that is why they call him, ladies and gentlemen, the Haiku Master.
Oh, he's a Haiku Master.
We got to make that more of a thing.
I know.
I miss us doing that. We can even do some repeats, man. I'm good with the repeats and what
okay.
We've got.
All right.
A lot of people listening to the show now don't know that there was years where you did a haiku. Was it every week?
It was. Yeah. It
you
was
published
every week
a book.
For, yeah.
That theme song is still one of my proudest achievements of all time.
You know, I have to say, I do love it.
When I realized that Lake of Loch Lomond was also in the pentatonic scale. And that's how I could mix the two together. And I, for some reason, I had it in my head that you were part Scottish, and the whole joke being that the music that da 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 dun dun is supposed to be a very like simplistic reference to Chinese music, whereas haiku is not Chinese at all.
Correct.
So this is all just like a never ending just joke of ridiculousness.
Yes.
And you're not Scottish. There's
nope.
Nothing. There's no Scottish stuff at all.
I don't think so.
So that. Theme music is nothing but insanity and silliness, and I'm so proud of it, which is why I should never be a politician.
Yeah.
And so anyway, there it is. So should we try to go back to Barbara?
Yeah,
in
let's
Connecticut?
Give it a shot.
Okay, let's see how she's doing. Hello, Barbara.
Hey, I'm still trying to hear you. I can't hear you now. I can't get into the stupid chat room.
Oh, technical difficulties, huh?
Really bad, just
okay.
All of a sudden. But I do have my poem.
You do? Oh, okay, perfect.
Yes.
Whenever you are ready, then.
Yeah. It's called What Am I Missing? And I think it's from my book. I think I have it in my book, too. You'll probably forget me living with and without hell. What am I missing? When you have had it, you will know what I mean when I say an indescribable feeling is gone from my life. That moment when you look into someone's eyes and see the knowledge you and he are together in thought and feeling, as if you were sinking into a comfortable sofa together at the same time. The feeling of being content with the moment, for you need nothing else but the other's presence. And you are a couple in everything, enjoying the same things and enjoying each other in this enjoyment. Call it a circle of contentment, for it starts with the idea and moves through the feeling and finally ends in the action and continues with joy as each action brings another one, gathering the experiences together into a ball living inside of you. The circle begun and continued on the moment we met. It's the beginning, middle, and end of the us is what I miss the most. Amorphous and full of angst, the circle is broken, no one to take its place. Each moment unframed, for there is no one with whom to share each idea, and no one to enjoy what you love, and especially no one to watch enjoying as you enjoy. No longer am I a spectator of your joy, taking sideways glances as we experience the moment, and sharing afterwards, seeing your eyes alight in the aftermath of our sharing.
I'm really glad you were able to read that for us.
Thank you.
Despite the technical issues you run into. Everybody's having technical issues tonight. I'm sorry to hear that you're dealing with that as well.
Yeah, I just got it, and it's like some kind of virus. That's I think it's Mixler has updated and didn't bother to tell anybody else. And so you can't get into Facebook. You can't sign in with Facebook. You can't even sign in with Mixler unless you've memorized your password. And I sent a message to them, but they're not sending anything to me. So,
well, so you know, Mixler is a UK-based company, and they're the ones who are they're the ones who carry most of the royal concerts and things like that as well. So they are a pretty robust platform. They should be getting back to you, but they might not have people on staff to respond right away.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's not the time, and you know, it's disturbing because I can't be in the chat room and I can't listen now. So that's it. But I hope that the rest of the show. How many people have gone on? Did you have like a few people go on before me? So
we had someone go on, and then we had an appearance by the Haiku Master.
Oh, I missed that. All right, I'll have to listen tomorrow if I get a chance, or Sunday, whatever. But thank you, Michael, for calling back. And I will try to fix my mess here, but it is a mess because I can't get in, and it's given me this circle of sadness, you know, this, like, frustration.
Barbara, speaking of T-shirts, that's another one. It's all a mess, and it's given me this circle of sadness. Perfect. Barbara's going to have
to, have to pay me for that one. Yeah,
well, no, that's the thing. We could even have it as a quote attributed to you, but you could just make a T-shirt with a circle on the front and just an arrow to a circle of sadness, and you just wear it. Or even more, you could go circle of discontent. That would be another good one. Yeah,
that's a good one. Yeah. Really, this is really like bad. Bad, bad, bad.
That's another shirt. Okay, before we get into this, Barbara, we love you. Thanks so much for everything, and we'll talk to you next week, okay?
You're welcome, Michael. And I just wanted to tell you that we're going to see, I don't know if you know this show, Be More Chill.
No.
Be More Chill is a new musical opening on Broadway. Actually opened on Broadway this week.
Really?
And it's about a high school kid who has this thing called a squib in his head, which is making him do stuff that he might not have done without it. And it's kind of just making him be better in some ways, but it's not a good thing because it makes him do other things too. And it's in
like questionable dance numbers
too.
Okay.
Yeah. But the music, you have to listen to it. Be more chill.
Okay. I'll look it up.
Go and look it up. You'll like it.
Okay. All right. I will do so.
I'm gonna get off the phone and, hope the rest of the show is good and talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Thank you.
Bye. JT. Bye.
And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. I got to be honest, Be More Chill sounded a lot like a musical about ice cream trucks. Tell me that wouldn't be an amazing musical. Especially because there are stories of insane competition between ice cream trucks. Like ridiculous levels, like threatened violence and things.
Yeah.
And I've actually heard like This American Life about it as well. I think that would be an amazing musical.
Huh.
Get out of my territory. Let's go to Arizona because that solves all our problems. Let's go to Mary there. Mary, I'm so sorry to tell you this. If you can hear us, we cannot hear you. So we're going to need you to call us back. Also, is Stan on the line? Okay, Stan, you're likely going to have to do the exact same thing. And Don calls in later. So we're okay. So, Stan, you're likely going to have to call us back as well. So if you want to just hang up, we can do that. Here comes Mary from Arizona live on the air. Hello, Mary.
All that baloney stuff.
You know, wouldn't it be funny if it turned out that actually was just all a ruse? It's just us making people jump through hoops for no reason.
Oh, I feel like, come on now. Is this really necessary? Is it necessary? No, it might be. Anyway,
well, we're trying to make it. I have not found a way.
Penalty. my penalty for trying to fit into the modern
Mary,
technology.
You're going to pay to fit in.
Of no. The union.
Yes.
This union is That's not it. For me. Not for me any longer. No. I refuse.
Exactly. Okay. Anyway, okay.
My little, trying to change into a completely different place. My little backdrop is a favorite artist of mine, George Winston. I think he probably is still playing the piano if he's alive. And I loved his music when I was in my 20s. Until now. And I'm starting to do a little bit of that and a little scribble in the background of him that I wrote. His song is called Winter into Spring. My scribble is called Stated Intent. I've always wished to be here. I still weep inconsolably. Feelings of belonging intermittent with a sense of eternal longing. Pushed and ambled on like a misguided lost road. Going places never imagined or anticipated before. And since then, I arrive at a place more often now. One where I am unbothered even by death or destruction. Flying with angst against the doors that only open on a timer, unknown. Ones that only open when we are ready to receive what we see on the other side of them. Within my breath of laughing tears, reality comes and the realization of peace enters from within them. I sigh and let my lungs fill up completely. Embrace this life and all its beauty until death overtakes us. Mission stated now. The tears flow through easy and lesser to a slow drip. There's so much still to love and learn here. And so I continue in my countenance. End poem.
That was a powerful, powerful piece. The music really added
thank
to
you.
It. Yeah. I was really enjoying
I really like writing, and I like its effectiveness in my heart.
Yes. Yes, I understand that completely.
Yeah. So that's what leads me onward, and I wish you all a wonderful spring. And the next Friday is our After Dark, yes?
Oh, that's right, it is.
Oh,
yeah.
See the enjoyment we can look forward to.
Yeah.
All right. You guys have a good night. And it was such a lovely evening. I'll listen on to the rest.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Mary.
Good night. Yeah, you're welcome.
Good night. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, laying down something great. All right, Sten, shall we try?
We can try.
All right, here we go. Sten, just as we thought, you might have to call us back. Actually, you do need to call us back. And is Philip?
Philip, yeah.
Does he need to call us back as well?
He will, yeah.
All right. So, Philip, if you're listening, hanging up is okay. Just make sure you're listening so you can call us back when it's time.
All right, Stan.
I would we're just going to disconnect with Stan.
Yeah,
so you can
continue with Stan?
Your service has been temporarily discontinued. In that voice, exactly.
Yes.
Discontinued, my friends.
Hopefully Stan calls. I'm sure he will.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a major technical issue out there.
Maybe. Maybe he stepped away to make a sandwich. Oh, there he is. Okay,
he probably
here we go.
Just got back from making that peanut butter sandwich.
I hope he did. Well, peanut butter sandwiches, that's not a good one to make if you're going to be speaking because then you're most...
Aaron Burr. Right?
Yeah, see? There you go. Hey, Stan, how's it going?
There we go.
We could talk for a while about the ins and outs of what sandwiches to actually eat while you're waiting to read poetry on the air.
Oh, and somebody came up with peanut butter.
I think JT was just throwing out the first sandwich that came to mind.
It is, because I usually go for a peanut butter sandwich late at night.
Oh, is that what you do?
It's just a thing. I don't do it now, but it's a thing that runs through my head.
Oh, okay. All right, interesting. Okay. Anyway, Stan, that has nothing to do with anything. like a good amount of this show, as it might go. But so anyway, what do you have for us this time? Welcome back, by the way.
Well, I decided I was going to bring back something we did a while back, sort of a little tribute to Mr. James Laughlin. And since we had the Haiku Master on, I thought I'd bring this back. Sort of a little something for James, who did a very nice brevity tonight. And a little something for the Haiku Master.
All right.
And here it is. The title, Poetic Response to the Self-Important, Self-Involved, Self-Righteous, Ego-Driven, Theological, and Scientific Elitists insisting on the existence of absolutes and impossibilities as a rebuttal. And the poem? Know it all. Bullshit. End piece.
Yep. Perfect, actually.
I remember that was one of our plans we had, that we had a few poets coming up, and we normally don't do brevity, and we were all going to do a brevity.
Yep.
In honor of Mr. James Laughlin. So I thought, well, Mr. James Laughlin's on the air tonight, and the Haiku Master was in the building, so what better one to do?
That is great. That's awesome. Thank you, Stan. We appreciate
And I appreciate the venue, gentlemen, and thank you, and on to the next.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. As always, just really, really laying it down, doing a great job. Now, Don from California, could you give us a call, please? It is now your turn.
Takes about 15 seconds to get
a... Yeah, it's okay. There's a little bit of a...
airwave delay. It's an incredible amount, though. I wish there were something that I could do to make it better, but there really isn't. So.
Yeah, see. Let's see. So JT,
yes,
while
sir.
We're waiting for a call from Don.
Yeah.
What's a question you've always wanted to ask me publicly? This is AMA. AMA, ask me anything.
Wow. I don't know. What's with the tail?
Well, when I was going through surgery for the cancer treatment, right?
Yeah.
They were wheeling me through because I had veterinarians who came into a surgery. No joke. This is actually you can actually go on YouTube and look this up. If you look up 2020, like the show 2020, and Dr. Ross, R-O-S-S, then Wilkins, I-L-K-I-N-S. You will actually see an interview with me on 2020 and part of my story. And there was a veterinarian named Dr. Steve Withrow who invented this thing that was done, this procedure that was done, that I was the first human to have done. The thing they don't mention is alongside that surgery, accidentally, somehow, they grafted a lion's tail onto my tailbone. It was a mistake. I think someone was using the balloon, the helium tank, and something happened there. There was some weird thing. I think the anesthesiologist kind of had a competition going. Anyway, at first I was really upset and I was going to change it, but now I've just learned to accept it and it's part of my charm. Let's go now to Don in California. Hello, Don.
Hi. Hello. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
That was a good theme that you did. You get it through. I don't know what the delay is. So, did you be able to get through with that little vignette that you had?
Yes, I did. I was. I always give myself an escape plan. So if I have to cut a vignette short, I can always just quickly jump out of it wherever I need to.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Anyway,
this
poem back.
Is entitled Raw Changes. I cannot tell you where I am raw. To mention where would be impolite. I can say that where the rawness throbs, I cannot sit or wish to sit. From yesterday through tonight. So if you can speak to me with words which do not stir the air, because even a small breeze puts me into a fright. And whatever you do, do not burst into a zeitgeist. Now is not the time to sit and fart light.
Speaking of a very specific word choice to get a very specific reaction, JT and I both just start laughing instantly because of the way that that landed.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad it landed.
Don, thank you very much.
Umbrellas
sir.
Are good too.
They
umbrellas are. Umbrellas are good too, yes. It really doesn't matter where it lands as long as it's light.
We hope. We hope anyway. All right. Thank you, sir.
And now we can get to Stan?
Actually, we did.
Yeah, we did get to Stan.
Okay,
and we've got Philip coming after you.
Okie doke.
Bye-bye
right. Now.
Goodbye. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And that was Don calling from California. Man.
Oh.
I like those singular word choices, man. You're so good.
It's just precisely
placed. When a word is, and this is something we can all appreciate here,
yeah.
Is... There's a thing, it happens musically as well, in Sweeney Todd, mm-hmm. which some people have seen. You've seen that one, right? There is one line where he has finally decided that he's going to basically go on this murder spree, and he sings, "My heart is full of joy," and he hits a thing called a tritone, and it's a really dissonant note, but it's the perfect dissonant note. And you hear it sometimes in other things. Coldplay actually did a song. Called True Love, and tell me you love me, but if you don't, then lie to me. And the guitar solo comes in, and it's the perfect dissonant note. It's the thing that tells you that not everything is okay in this beautiful song, this beautiful world. And I feel like when you find a word that lands perfectly, it is like that note. All right.
Philip
from Kentucky. Give us a call, sir. We are ready for you. All right, here we go.
Hopefully he calls.
Hopefully he calls. Otherwise,
unless he's practicing his poem.
Or doing air squats. We know he's... That's
air,
a thing.
Air squats.
Air
you
squats.
Know what?
Maybe he's calling us and doing air squats.
I think the air squats is a thing.
Well, air squat. Apparently 40 air squats and doing push-ups against the wall helps you somehow insulate yourself from the calories that are getting into your bloodstream so
oh,
you can
cool.
eat more and you don't actually put on the weight. That's a thing from the 4-Hour Body with Tim Ferriss. Random. Anyway, hey, Philip.
Oh, boy. I feel like my name should be you, Philip. Come back, it's Lassie. Come back.
Well,
we call back.
We were having those technical difficulties again, so I was.
Oh, but more importantly, it's nice to be missed. So
see?
You know, make the mistake again. I don't mind. Yeah.
Okay,
Philip,
just
call,
accidentally
call
hang up again and go, Philip, please call back.
Shane, come back, Shane.
I swear, if I ever get to spend time like working with someone named Shane, I'm going to find reason every time he leaves a room.
Like, I hate that guy, Shane.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah, it's like, yes. And then it gets funny again, and then it's not funny, and then it gets funny again. I don't know why that happens, but it does.
You just wait till he just gets so angry, and then you do it the next time. You know,
yeah, right.
Anyway.
Well, I'll be quick. I'm sure you guys. I think I'm the ninth caller, so we've had a nice set of poets tonight. Is there one after me? I didn't.
You are the closing act, my friend.
The closing act. Oh, joy!
You are the Elton John of this particular concert.
I'm so glad I'm dressed for the occasion. Well, I'll be quick. I do want to just specify. There are curious people in the audience, perhaps. In the title, I have a word. Sinfire, and I know most people are going to be like, Sinfire, what the, you know, it's spelled S-Y-N and then fire, but in meaning synchronous firing of neurons. So, and that's it. That's my short footnote or preface, whichever. Sinfire, chain, excitation, and here we go. Gazes left behind, vacancies where the self evaporates into its anesthesia. However it happens, don't question the happy, honeyed over head spaces. Bee sucker thrummed voices sung. Jukebox hives abundant with endorphins, dopamine gorges. Bucolic, sulky rills, wreathed, blithe, berry ripe, festooned corpus callosum, overgrown wild, blossomed hemispheres at the apex of a consummate secret. There it is, fellers.
All right. Nice.
That was really cool. I like the style you've been pushing here recently, Philip.
Well, I thank you, sir.
I'll say. Yeah, that's...
Y'all very nice. I think I'm gonna come back here again. Take my shoes off. Stay a while. All right.
All right.
Perfect.
You guys are marvelous. I love you much. Big hugs, kisses, all that. You guys stay well and enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your time off. And thank you so much for having us all here. You guys do a really wonderful job, so it's an honor.
We appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers.
All right. Cheers. And that was Philip, a.k.a. Felipe. By the way, I used to own a horse named Felipe.
Yeah?
No joke, he was from Argentina.
Okay.
And he had this little thing that looked like, no joke, it looked like a mustache.
Like a pencil mustache?
Like a pencil mustache. And
that's great.
I swear... All the female horses were all about Felipe.
Well, yeah.
So he was the guy from Argentina with the mustache that all the women loved. Of course he was from Argentina, you know. What is he going to say? Anyway, it's been a great show, guys. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We love spending this time with you. We love spending our Friday nights. We're looking forward to next week. We got the return, or not the return engagement. There will be a return engagement, but there's also going to be and after dark. So that'll be a great... I'm getting slap happy. We are going to have an after dark segment next week as well. And we'll be starting a whole new month. We'll have a new poet of the month. We'll have a new poetic form of the month. We'll have all that stuff. All kicks in next week. Friday, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, right here. So until then, from myself, from JT, from Novia the Studio Cat, and from Ursa the Studio Dog, we love you. We thank you for spending your time with us. We will see you next time. And until then, keep writing. Have a great night.